Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Paul Ogando.
Amen. Amen. So I got this word. I want you to go to 2 Samuel. It's a story you know. I shared this a little bit in our Spanish ministry, and I was kind of dealing with it. You know, sometimes preachers, we have this pride. Like, we don't like to preach things several times. We just want to get a fresh message. But God just kept with me on this message in a different angle. And so I want to share that with you. So if you have your Bibles, you go to two places. You go to the book of Luke, chapter 6. And we'll go there, and 1 Samuel 25. And so there'll be other verses, but that's kind of our main, we're going to kind of go off of there. And I'm talking about feeling blessed. And feeling blessed is, an expression that a lot of times we use, especially nowadays where we have the area of emoji, you know, feeling blessed, happy face, praise the Lord, you know. So it's just so awesome. But it's so interesting that God brought me to a message. Every end of the year, I do something. And my birthday's around the end of the year. And so every year I take a day or two to pray, just get aside from God, remember what has happened throughout the year, and kind of pray what God would have personally for me for the new year. That's something I started about 5 years ago. I started doing this, and every year there's something fresh God brings into my heart. So he led me to the story that talked about something completely different. And so as I thought about it and prayed about it, God brought me to something so interesting. And God brought me to understanding about emotions. And what happens is we live in a world right now where emotions are at a high level, where everything is related around emotions. People want to connect in their emotions and do all these things. And so we've become a very emotional, especially in America, we become very emotional about every situation in our life. And emotions are important. Emotions help us connect in many levels, but God did not make emotions for those emotions to drive us or lead us in any way, because that is not the idea of the emotion. As a matter of fact, emotions are really created so that we can connect with each other. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice. So the Bible's saying connect with the person at the level they're at in their situation. But that verse does not talk about something very crucial. And that is the importance that emotion should not drive your life. It shouldn't drive your life, or you're going to miss out in the things that God has for you. And that's really what I want to talk about today, that we can get to a point of understanding something so powerful. And I want you to get this phrase in your heart. And if you don't get anything else from me tonight, get this. Your blessing is on the other side of your feelings. Your blessing is on the other side of your feelings. Your blessing is on the other side of your feelings. If we remain emotional in everything we do, we might miss the blessings that God has for us. And so emotions are so powerful that whether through email or text, we've created emoticon and emojis, and those things have become so popular and so huge, because even when you express yourself, people want to clarify what they're trying to say. I mean, it's so crucial. I had a story of a friend. I won't expose him, but he told me a story that was pretty funny, that when he was with his girlfriend, at the time they were actually engaged, he was texting each other. And so I didn't clarify with him, but I won't mention him. But they were texting each other, and they got into a texting argument. This was before emojis, right? And they got into a texting argument, and she was doing something, and she texted back after the back and forth of texting, "I'm done." And so he said, "What?" I mean, he was livid. What's going on? We're breaking up over texts. This is so wrong. But later, come to find out, talking to her, she was saying she was done with work that day, not done with their relationship. So nowadays, a lot of us are connected through emotions, and that's why they put these emojis in our phones, so that we can kind of express ourselves and praise Jesus and glory to God, eyes rolling over. And so we do all these things in order to convey emotions, because words many times through text or email do not do that. The problem is that if we judge everything by the way we see it or feel it, we might miss out on everything the Lord has for us. And God wants us to go from a place of just being an emotional Christian to actually being a mature Christian. And a mature Christian will reach his blessing beyond his feelings, beyond his feelings. And so your blessing is beyond that which you feel. And this is so crucial, because Nowadays, people want to acknowledge their, people are offended. We have safe places. We have trigger words. We have rooms where you only hear nice things. I mean, it's getting a little crazy out there. And so, because everybody's so sensitive about so many things, but I want to invite you into something. I'm not trying to hurt you. God doesn't want to hurt you. He's a great father. What he wants us to do is we cannot follow God by emotions alone. We cannot follow God by emotions alone. There's got to be a deeper meaning and connection with him. As a matter of fact, Jesus talks about it. And you may never have heard these verses in this context, but he talks about it in the book of Luke chapter 6. And I want to read it from the New International Version just because it's a little easier to understand and it's a little easier for me to read too. Old King James is a little harder for my English sometimes, but it says the following. Verse 27 says, Jesus speaks, but to you who are listening, I say. So who's Jesus speaking to? Everyone who's listening. He says, to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Okay. Verse 28. Bless those who curse you. What? Pray for those who mistreat you. Verse 29. If someone slaps you on the cheek, Jesus, come on, man. Can't do that. San Bernardino, what are you talking about? Turn the other also. What? If someone takes your coat, do not withhold from them your shirt. Verse 30, give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. You know what Jesus was saying to us? Do exactly the opposite of what you feel. Do exactly the opposite of what you feel. And my friends, that is hard to do because we all feel wronged in some way. We all want justice in some way. And that is so important for us to understand. And Jesus is provoking us to actually, as a Christian, look at our life from different lenses in every area of our life. And do not become emotional Christians at everything we do. And let me tell you, I'm not preaching this from a place of perfection. I've known to snap a few times here and there, just like you have. So don't look at me like I'm crazy, okay? But we all have. We all have at some point, we kind of just, hey, we're not right. We just kind of go off of it because we want a solution for our feelings. We want somebody to know how we feel. But Jesus is challenging us as mature Christians, saying, do exactly the opposite of what you feel. Oh man, this is a game changer right here. Verse 31, he says, do to others as you would have them do to you. Do to you. I am tested in this every single day. Every single day, my son goes to Kaipa High School. And so we have to make this big old line to drive into the high school. And so when we have to drive the line, you know, I go early. I'm obeying the law. I'm there, you know, in my little lane. Never fail. Somebody comes that thinks they're smarter than you, cooler than you, drive a cooler car than you, and cuts you off in the line since you've been waiting there since 7:30, all patient. Well, I mean, I have my son. I'm trying. So there's a few times where I'm like, come on, man, where are you going? And then I have to, you know, praise Jesus, son. Don't, you know, I'm just trying to train the boy up. And I'm failing here. But it's frustrating. Your feelings get hurt. You're like, what? I'm obeying every law possible. I'm behaving as a good citizen. And this guy just cuts me off. Come on. And so Jesus is saying, when you are that way, when you feel that you don't know what's going on with them, you know, they're running late for a project, you don't know what's going on. So he's saying, do the opposite of what you feel in your life. And I want to take you to a story of David, very well-known story. This is before he was a king, but on the hills of becoming king. And so very well-known story that David was a man of emotions. I mean, he wrote Psalms. David was super joyful. He was dancing to the Lord and they turned around and cut your head off. I mean, the guy was just all over the place. But God used him in a mighty way because he channeled a lot of his emotions towards the things of God. He used them in order to further the kingdom of God. And that is exactly what God wants us to do, to take a mature position from our feelings and channel into the things of God. Because I feel that more and more country is becoming a more emotional place, and everybody's sort of gushy-gushy, feely-feely, and we're not obtaining the blessings God has for us Christians because we are only driven by the things we like or feel. And God is saying, no, I have a greater purpose, a higher measure for each one of us in this room tonight. And so in a few moments, I want us to break that down. So here's what's going on in 1 Samuel 25. David has been kicked out of the kingdom. Saul wants to kill him. He's running around in the different hills of the town. He's got 600 men. 600 men who were so powerful and such mighty warriors that entire armies would fear them. You're talking 600 guys that were absolutely unbelievable. I mean, warriors from head to toe. They feared no one, and everybody feared them. So David is, you know, kind of taking care of this region where there's a rich man named Nabal, and Nabal has a lot of cows and sheep and all kinds of stuff. And David has been just hanging around there and protecting Nabal. Nabal didn't ask him, Nabal didn't hire him, but David was being a good guy and just sort of helping him out. Where it comes to the point that the prophet Samuel had died, it is time to celebrate certain feasts that the children of Israel kept, but David had no provisions. So he says to one of his servants, hey, go to Nabal's house, tell him this, very kind. I mean, David was so kind. Tell him, Lord, we've been taking care of your sheep. None of your servants have been attacked. If anyone came against them, you've lost no property since we've been here. We've covered and protected you. All we ask is that you give us some provisions of what is your left. David didn't even want the main thing. He said, whatever you kind of have left, you can find there in your warehouse. Give us something so that we can celebrate the feast and be together and partake out here in the wilderness. Well, Nabal, man, he is as cheap as they come. And the Bible describes him as like he is Scrooge 10 times over. Nabal is like, I don't know no David. But here's what's funny. He said, I don't know no David or the son of Jesse. Wait, you don't know him, but you know his papa? Nah, man, you know who he is. You know who he is. I don't know no David. He said, I don't know who that. There's a lot of bandits. There's a lot of guys out there that are running rogue that left their masters. David could be one of them. I'm not going to give them my stuff. So go on ahead. It says that the servant left and went on ahead and told David. Man, David got angry. I mean, there's a few times in the Bible he's angry. This is one of them where David is just absolutely mad. And David says, what? He said, 400 of you right now, get your swords, get your horses, get your marching orders. We're going to go to Nabal's house and we're going to clean house. I mean, David is absolutely so angry. This is what he says. 1 Samuel 25, 21 and 22. Look at this. He says, now David has said, surely in vain. David feels mad. His feelings are being hurt. He says, surely in vain I have protected all that this fellow has in his wilderness, so that nothing was missed, all that he belonged to him, and he has repaid me evil for good. How many people have ever been in that position? Ooh. All of us at some point. Man, I did something nice for you. This is how you pay me? This is crazy. So David felt wrong, just like you have felt before. Listen to his words. He doesn't stop there. He says, may God do so. So he's saying, I'm onto something here. And more also to the enemies of David, if I leave, and that word leave, actually, the sentence is not complete. It said, if I leave any one male alive by the time the morning comes. Should I translate it for you? David said, heads are rolling for real. That's it. There's no other way of saying it. Literally rolling, like sword cut off, and that's it. I mean, David was angry as all get out and said, by morning, there'll be no male in his house. Everybody's dead. And so he gets on his horse, let's go. I mean, David was hot. But we got to learn from the story something that we all need. And there's one thing that we have to learn from his first emotion is this. Don't be ruled by your emotions. Don't be ruled by your emotions. When we let our emotions rule us, we will make, always, we will make a mistake at some point. Because emotions are an answer to a circumstance at the moment, but we have to figure out what is actually going on before we go for it. And so anytime I've reacted emotional in a situation before I evaluate a situation, I've made a mistake. I don't know you, but I know I have. And so when we're ruled by emotion, when we become emotional people and everything we do kind of jumps off of that platform, we are going to encounter situations that God did not design us to go through. But because emotions are not made for that, they made us for us to connect. So David said, forget it. I'm going to go and just kill people. And here's what happens. You have to own to your emotions. You cannot cast blame. David's saying, I'm angry and I want to kill people because of what Nabal did. So here's what the Lord is saying to us. Own your emotions. It's okay to be angry. But you can't say, I'm in the hole I'm in because that guy didn't do for me. It is so important for us to see that. So important, because even though that person might have put you there, we're going to learn today that the God of heaven has a better plan for you than the situation or circumstances actually call for. And David at the moment just couldn't see it because he was so angry, so livid that somebody would do him so wrong in life that he was willing to commit murder at that level just because he couldn't control his emotions at the time. When we live based on the way we feel, it'll lead us to destruction. When we live in the way we feel, it'll lead us to destruction. It'll destroy your marriage. It'll destroy your employment. It'll destroy your businesses. It'll destroy your health. Anytime you lead your life based on emotions, you will end up with destruction. And it's time for us to kind of take that step to saying, Lord, I acknowledge my emotions, but now I need help in certain areas of my life. I cannot be ruled by the level of emotion I live in, because it'll lead us to destruction in many areas. Proverbs 3:5-6. I'll read it for you. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. It doesn't say, trust your heart and lean on the Lord. We've done a rewrite in society. We trust our heart and we sort of ask the Lord to own up to what we actually trust. Proverbs saying, no. Trust the Lord with that, with all your heart. You got to put it on the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. Sometimes I get it. David couldn't figure it out. David couldn't put two and two together. How can somebody be so mean to me when I'm being so nice? Saul is trying to kill me. I cannot be with my family. I'm helping this guy out and everybody is doing wrong to me. Are you there now or have you been there? When we use the phrases everybody and everyone, we've already lumped every feeling in one category. And so verse 6, don't leave yet. I know the other church may have a nicer message tonight, but you can stay there. Verse 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him. In all your ways. So God, this is wrong. How do I connect with you? David was a man of prayer. David before going to war, David would say, Lord, should I go to war? Should I follow them? Should I attack them? He would acknowledge his feelings. He will acknowledge what's going on. Even when his wives were taken and his children were taken, he paused and went before the Lord. But at this point, David is so angry and so low, he didn't even take time to acknowledge the Lord in his ways. He just made a decision. He just made a decision. I'm going to make a decision. And so he went on and said, and he shall direct your path. Once you make that decision, once you make that pause, you will get the answer that you need for the Lord when you are not ruled by your emotions. Are you with me tonight? So here's what's going on in the story. So David, the wife of Nabal hears about what is going on. She's like, oh my gosh. The servant says, hey, David, the guy who's been out there helping us, he really has been really good. The servant lady tells to his maidservant, tells the Nabal's wife, Abigail's her name, everything. Says, man, he's been nice. They've been so good to us. But your husband, man, he was a knucklehead. He treated him so bad. Send them away. And Abigail, the Bible says she was beautiful and had understanding. What a combination. She was beautiful and had understanding. She put two and two together really fast. Bible says she said, you go get grapes, you go get raisins, you go get meat, you go get bread, load up the donkey, we're out of here. She knew what was coming right away. She's like, I've heard about this guy and it's not going to be good for us. And so she's really smart, tells the servant, you go meet that guy, don't wait for me. You go on ahead. I'll catch up with you. And so as they're going, she reaches to him and starts talking to him. And all of us, I want you to get something. All of us need an Abigail in our lives. Somebody who at the point of our craziness, help us regain our consciousness so that we don't miss out our blessing and the things God has for us. So important before God. Give him a hand who spoke to you tonight. So she gets there, gets off her donkey, lays, prostrates on the earth, and starts talking to David. And it says this, "Please forgive your servant's presumption. The Lord your God will certainly make lasting dynasty for my Lord, because you fight the Lord's battles, and no wrongdoing will be found in you as long as you live." I mean, this lady was brilliant. 29, "Even though someone is pursuing you to take your life, the life of my Lord will be bound securely in the bundle of the living by the Lord your God." Did you hear what she said? She said, even though you feel somebody's going to kill you, I'm here to tell you that you're going to be okay because God is protecting you. You're going to be okay because God is protecting you. I mean, when we're just emotional, we can't see what the Lord is saying to us. So she's breaking it down for him. It says, "Your God, but the lives of your enemies, he will hurl away as from a pocket to a sling." Verse 30, "When the Lord has fulfilled for my Lord every good thing he promised concerning him and has appointed him ruler over Israel." Verse 31, "My Lord will not have his conscience staggering burden of needless bloodshed or having avenged himself," for having avenged. So she's saying, listen, you don't need this burden on your life. When you become king, why do you have to think about it? Why did I kill all those people that were innocent? I just got angry. Nobody wants to walk around with that concern. How many of us, don't raise your hand, have acted emotional and regretted it? This is exactly what she's telling, like, don't go there or you're going to regret it because you are going to become emotional and absolutely lose a bunch of stuff in the process of doing that. So she tells him and says, "Because the Lord's going to be good to you." She doesn't end there. I like her. "And when the Lord your God has brought my Lord to success, remember your servant." That's how you get a job. That's how you get a position. So you got to learn something from Abigail. She's absolutely brilliant. And so for many of us, we have to see how brilliant she was. And in the story, you later learn that Nabal dies and then she marries David. But just for fun, if Abigail were texting David in today's culture, this is what it would look like. This is what the text would look like. I hope we have that text for you today if we have the image. Yes, no, no. But oh, there it is. It'll look like this. "David, I don't mean to get in your business, but the Lord knows you're the man, arm and crown. I know the devil, the little purple demon, has sent folks to hurt you. My husband, the clown, eyes roll up. But know this, God is going to bless you. Prayer hands and bless hands. And when he does, remember me. Kissy heart and winky winky." Oh man, text is ridiculous. Number two, so important. Truth is the anchor of your emotions. Truth is the anchor of your emotions. Our emotions are gonna run wild until we can ground them onto something solid. I remember in my walk with the Lord and for many years, especially in my younger days, I would always relate to God in the way I felt. So if I didn't love myself, I felt God didn't love me. So I felt unloved by God. But the Bible clearly says that he loves us with eternal love. But because I didn't feel it, then I said, well, God doesn't love me. How about this one? Sometimes I felt, well, if I sin or if I feel far from God, I would feel that he will never forgive me. When the Bible says he forgives all those who come to him and ask for forgiveness, the Bible says just come boldly into the throne of grace, find help. And it's just so important for us to know that we cannot relate to the Lord based on our feelings. We have to relate to the Lord on truth. And so when your feelings are running wild with deception, depression, or maybe pride or any other emotion, you have to go back to the truth to anchor yourself in how you feel and get that from the Lord. And that is such a powerful thing for us to understand because that anchor is the only thing that's gonna help us remain immovable, remain solid, and bring bring our emotions back to where they're supposed to be, leading us to gain the purposes of God. Here's a prayer that Jesus made for us. In John 17, he has one verse that's absolutely powerful. John 17, 17, in the New Living Translation, says, make them holy by your truth. So he said, the way you and I become holy is by truth. And then he tells us what truth is. He says, teach them your word, which is what? Truth. So he says, the way you and I become holy, the way you and I become grounded is by truth. And the truth that it is solid is the word of God. And this is so important why we make an investment in this church to teach you the word of God and to inspire you and help you to get more of it, because that is the only anchor for your soul in today's day. It's the only anchor. It's the only anchor. You know, it's so crazy, just the stuff that we've been hearing and seeing. I mean, anything Trump says, the world goes bananas. But like I've never seen anything like it in my life. Now, I haven't lived, 70 years, 60 years. I've lived 40 plus years, but I've never seen anything like it. Just the guy says something and everybody goes crazy. Well, I want to tell you something. God has said a lot of things and they're all phenomenal. And I don't hear anybody going crazy over those. That, my man, is what you have to be going crazy over. Whatever he says, whatever he wants, whatever he desires, that's what I want. Not what the news is feeding, not what you're hearing from over here, not what the guy said here, oh, so-and-so looked at me weird, so-and-so said this. You know what? You have to regain composure because you have to anchor yourself in the truth. And all of us need that truth checkup in our hearts in order to walk with the Lord. Third and last one for tonight is very important, is this, is that the blessing is found in God's plan. The blessing is found in God's plan. Remember that your blessing is on the other side of your feelings. So in order to connect with the blessing, you're going to have to connect with the plan of God. And the two pillars that hold your blessing are obedience and favor. Obedience and favor are the two pillars that hold your blessing. Obedience on one hand is what I do according to what God desires. Favor is what he does regardless of me. So those two things anchor your blessing in your life. That's why a lot of times we say, oh man, we get mad because so-and-so got blessed and so-and-so got blessed. Well, God is not looking for your opinion to bless them. He just wants to bless them. That's his desire. That's what he wants to do. That's called favor. And I heard expression, I believe T.D. Jakes coined that phrase. It's a favor ain't fair. And so that's the reality. On the other side, you have obedience. That God promises, hey man, if you follow these things, if you do these things, I am going to bring such a blessing upon your life that will absolutely, just absolutely overwhelm you. So great. But we have to understand that the blessing is in the plan of God. And that is why we cannot rule every relationship based on emotion, including marriage, including businesses. It cannot be everything an emotional decision. You have to hone that in order to grow to maturity. And I believe in 2018, as we're talking about reach and we're talking about these things, we have to reach in, and we're talking about this, we have to reach in and bring those things under submission to God in order to get the blessings that the Lord has for us. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to prove it to you tonight by just letting you mentioning these things that I read in the Bible, and it absolutely shocked me. Listen to this. If Moses would have listened to his feelings, he would have never returned to Egypt to take the children of Israel. If Abraham would have listened to his feelings, he would have never trusted the Lord by sacrificing his child and become the father of faith. If Joseph would have listened to his feelings, he would have killed all his brothers. If Esther would have listened to her feelings, she would have never risked her life. If Ruth would have listened to her feelings, she would have gone home and married a different man and would have never been in the line of Jesus. If Isaiah would have listened to his feelings, he would have never prophesied the profound things that we find in the Bible today. If Joseph of the New Testament would have listened to his feelings, he would have never cared for Mary and the seed of the Savior in her womb. And if Jesus would have listened to his feelings, he would have never died for our sins, and you and I would have been condemned forever. You cannot be guided by your feelings, because your blessing is on the other side of your feelings. It's on the other side of your feelings. And many of us today just need that direction of the Lord. And David says something so amazing. David hears Abigail and it's just kind of thinks about it, calms down. You know, she brings him food and he calms down and he says the following phrase and the following verse to her. In verse 32, he said, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel who sent you this day to meet me. And you know what? That lady saved that man from possibly ruining the future of his life. God would have found a different king, but God had chosen David. God said, I have found a man. And he almost blew it the moment that all the pressure came upon him and he reacted emotional until she came along and said, listen, David, get a hold of yourself. There's a blessing on the other side of what you're feeling. There's something greater on that other side. Forget my husband. Forget what happened. Don't listen to that guy. I brought you food. You're good. You're going to, you know, you're hangry. You're going to get help right now, you know? I'm going to help you, and then it's going to be good for you. But you need to listen. And for all of us, that is so important. Because if we continue to live our life of emotion in our Christian walk, we're not going to get the blessings of God. And many people are frustrated saying, Pastor, why am I not blessed? Why don't I have a great marriage? Maybe because you're reacting on your emotions and not on the Word of God. You're reacting to your emotions and not on the Word of God. I don't feel loving every day, and neither does my wife. That is normal. But because the Word says I love her, I make an effort outside of my feelings in order to engage with that. And she does the same for me. And then you're blessed. And then you're blessed. Pastor, I'm not blessing my finances, because the Word of God says you gotta trust me with the tithe. If you can do that, if you can trust me with the tithe, I'm gonna open up the windows of heaven and bless you in a greater way. But we are led by feelings. We cannot do that. We have to be led by the truth of God, because the blessing is on the other side of your feeling. On the other side of your feeling. Very important for us tonight. Feeling blessed can turn into being blessed when we move beyond emotions. Feeling blessed can turn into being blessed when we move beyond emotions. And tonight, if anything you can get from what I'm sharing to you tonight, 2018 is a year of maturity. 2018 is a year of advancing in the Lord. And God is saying, listen, there's going to be flaring and people saying and things saying and safe pace and words, and you're going to be called all kinds of names by race and color and height and all of it. And God is saying, put it aside and get anchored in what I'm telling you. Because if you can do that, you will be blessed mightily in everything you do. That is his promise. That is what he's sharing for us today. And the thing to learn about David is that David understood that and honed it in and said, you know what? You're right. I'm going to put my pride aside and I'm going to let the Lord defend me. I'm going to let the Lord open the road for me. I'm going to let the Lord bring the blessing and the things I need in my life. I don't know who's here tonight. I don't know if you're in the middle of a business transaction. I don't know if you're in the middle of a marital situation. I don't know if you're in a dispute with a neighbor. I don't know where you're at, but this is what the Lord is saying. Whatever you're feeling, bring it unto the truth of God and allow me to open the door for you. If you do that, the blessing will come. Give a hand to the Lord who spoke to you tonight.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.